This word is Mahomes shit is for the birds, bud.
Bro, I was just complaining about that, bro. Like they still putting deadlines on me. Like I ain't got Baylen in here, man. And like I'm not trying to do his schoolwork. Like help him do his schoolwork. Like that shit crazy. Like I'm a teacher. Like and I'm at work. Like y'all gotta chill out.
Right. That shit tripping. But this is going to show you that everybody can damn near all of the major businesses and corporations can allow you to work from home.
Yeah, I'll be honest, man. Like, just for like this student housing, like or like apartment complexes, bro. This shit not going back to the same. It's not. Like this will probably be like something like the new norm. And then you'll have like they'll have like limited staff and office, because we've already put out like virtual tours, virtual specials. Like it's like. Like we don't do any like they're ramping this shit up to go completely online and no contact, like so like, and I feel like the way they're investing in it, like it doesn't make sense to pour all this money in it and then go back and just leave it alone. So
computers been taking over though. They just been waiting on one thing
to
happen.
Computers taking over, bro. All
right. Man, this changing everything.
This is it.
All right. Oh, this is it.
We'll see how it goes. Like I said, I told people, I was like, man, like don't expect life to
exactly
how you knew it. Don't expect that shit. It's not going back to that.
I mean, if,
like you know, they already saying handshaking is dead. Like it's dead. Like like we not like they're like handshaking will be a thing of the past. And like people just like, yeah, it's just shaking hands. But like think about all the times you shake somebody's hand, like during the day, like so, like you know, that's just like ingrained, like it's just been like culturally accepted. So like that's a people blowing off, like that's a big thing that's going away. So it's like if you saying like that handshaking is going away, what else is going away? So you know, you'll see. Like I'm very interested to see like once a vaccine is developed. Like how life will try to get back. I haven't decided.
They talking about
you getting the
vaccine?
They
got microchips in that shit. Like, no.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's always going to be that element of conspiracy theorists. But to be honest, like. Some of it makes sense, not all of it. And that's the problem with conspiracy theory. There's always a little bit of element of, man, that could be true, and like that's why people take that little one thing and they run to the most extreme version of it, and then like so, that's why I was like, you know, I haven't decided not on the basis of like they gonna put chips in you and tracking you, like on the basis of like. How safe will it be? Like, and what are the long term side effects, if any?
Right.
Like, because like vaccines cure shit for most people, but in some people there's like there can be wild side effects. So like, you don't know if you're gonna be one of those people with wild side effects. Like to be honest, you don't even know if you've already got it. Some people are asymptomatic, like they've had it. And they don't even show any signs or symptoms, and they've gotten over it in their body. And actually, in their bodies right now, they have antibodies because they've actually defeated the virus, but they didn't have show symptoms of it. So, like, you don't like they're talking about testing for the virus, and at this point, like all the scientists are saying, like you know, testing for the virus, we missed that boat. Like, what we probably should be doing is testing for antibodies. Who has had it? And whose body has defeated it and didn't know it. I'm be honest with you. I think I had it too.
Especially,
I think I had it
right before Mardi Gras. I was having the symptoms. I was the shortness of breath.
Bro, like
the harsh cough. And the fever, Like, it was bad. I passed it to Elijah. Elijah passed it to Marsha. Mm-hmm. But when we got back from Mardi Gras,
right.
We
all got honestly, my mom had it. My mom had it. And she didn't know she had it. My uncle, I think that I had it as well. You know, because I didn't have any fever, but I had other flu-like symptoms. And, like, I got over it in 3 days. But I think I did low key have it. I just said I haven't tested for it because there's not enough testing. But like, I think a lot of people right now, you're seeing a lot of people have had it and have beaten it and didn't know about it. But the problem is reinfection is still like a possibility. They don't even know they don't know if you can get reinfected for sure. But they're saying that, you know, some people it's a possibility. So like, you know, it's still scary. So like, you know. I was just like, man, look, this shit is just too much. That's part of the reason why I couldn't do my editorial, because like it was too much information, bro. Like I was like, I can't keep up with this shit. Here's the thing, like when you say editorial, how passionate about, especially about politics, I get, and I was like, you know, everything changes on day to day, so I can't focus on one topic. I had one thing going, and then boom, now Georgia is opening up and Florida's reopening up the beaches. So like I wanted to pivot and like, hey, I was like, hey, black folks, we're being disproportionately we're being disproportionately affected by this. Like, don't, and like now that like Dr. Fauci said that, like, you know, it's worse among black people, now white people are rising up. Oh, open this shit back up. Cause they don't give a fuck. But like I had something totally different I wanted to say last week, but now this week I want to say, hey, black folks, stay. If you live in Georgia, you live in Florida, bro, stay your ass, and you can still work from home and steal stuff. Stay your ass in the house. Let these white folks get it, and then maybe they'll see that, hey, this shit not all that sweet. We need to sit our ass down. But don't let us be the test dummies for the economy. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they want us to be the lab rats for this shit. Like, and I'm like, I'm not with it. I'm like, you know, this shit is like, and like, all this shit is like ripping off a Band-Aid on America. Like, all this shit is superficial, bro. Like, all that shit that's saying America's the greatest nation in the country, like, all that shit is bullshit, because other nations do 10 times more than we can do.
True.
And are willing to do. And we can't even get little simple shit done. Like in Korea, they're like sanitizing the streets, my nigga. There's big trucks coming down. I know y'all seen those clips.
I don't even watch news, dog. So, I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. I'm so tired of seeing this shit, bro. It's ridiculous.
Nah, I ain't been looking.
Bro, like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, South Korea has like sanitizing stations. They've set up like in entrances of like every couple of feet, so like people walk through them when they leave buildings. Before they walk buildings, they walk through, like, you know, they, and it sprays them down with that mist, and then they're actually going through with big ass trucks like spraying the city down, like sanitizing that shit. You will never see that in America. You will never
see
that.
It's been had sanitizing stations like every 20-30 feet though in China and Tokyo. Like,
you know what I mean? In China and Tokyo, but like South.
And a guy was sneaker shopping out there. Mm-hmm. They had him out there. I was like, wow, they've been doing that, though. So,
that's what I'm saying.
They're just taking it to another level.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Here's the thing. Like, if they've been doing shit like that and it hit them hard, why the fuck we ain't got none of that shit?
I don't know, Brad. You got to ask your boy Trump, man. On that note, man, we gonna get this show on the road, bro. This your boy C Price. Welcome, two guys in the barber. We're back. Got my boy Emilion, aka Quick Six, in the building. Josh, aka Fresh Logic. Fresh_Logic in the building.
There you,
man,
go.
Hey, I know it's been a minute, people, and a lot of things have been going on. Coronavirus has been going on. It's pretty much, I would never thought anything like this personally,
but it's everything is just like completely shut down. I know people tired of hearing about it. We're not gonna harp on it for too long, but just to let you know what I've been doing. I've been working at home like everybody else who's an essential worker. And I'm gonna be honest, that shit is for the birds. It's really trash. It's like you pretty much have 15 jobs in one at home. Not only do I have to worry about my work being done in a timely manner, I'm sorry. Like, I also have to take care of my kids. I have a 7-month-old. My CJ just made 7 months today. Shout out one time.
Okay.
Oldest daughter. She's doing her little school work, doing her little exercises. My wife's here. She's working at home. So it's like we both kind of like have our hands completely full throughout the course of the day. But yeah, man, I am ready for this to be over with, but I know it's not gonna happen anytime soon. Everybody just need to be patient, stick to the orders, please stay at home, only go out when necessary. Don't have all these parties and these these shebangs, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it's cool, but I mean, the more times you keep doing it, the longer the damn stay at home is gonna take place.
Josh, when you boiling.
Man, shit, bro. Like, even if I was,
this nigga ain't boiling at all. You canceled 2020.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, by now, I would have had like five under the belt, five crawfish. Like, I ain't done one. What you mean? I'm like, my skills might be rusty. I'm out here
tweaking, bro. I don't even fuck with crawfish like that, bro. I've been buying shrimp from here and there. Crawfish head. I'm like, man, this shit ain't fucking with Josh shit.
I ain't gonna lie.
Back to Josh.
My brother-in-law been boiling some crawfish like last few weekends, so been over at his crib.
I saw you post the picture. I was like, look at this.
Hey, dog.
I was like, I hope it's less than
no, like, it was like seven people, though. It was like seven people, bro.
That's what he say, bro.
I'm serious, yeah, though. It wasn't more than 10 people, though. It was pretty much under 10 people. So
okay,
we got a lot to store tonight. We'll try to keep it short. But I know once we get into these heated debates, it's on and popping. But we're gonna go right into it, man. Last night, if you missed out on it. Man, I was. You're a damn fool. Like last night was the best 2 hours of quarantine season. Debate your mom.
I missed the first 40 minutes of the first episode watching some other shit. But I watched it. I watched the replay. I caught it. I caught it. But I did. I was like, what the fuck was I doing from 8 to 8:40?
I was in front of the TV.
I was
wild. I sat down an hour early and just waited. Like, I was watching Peyton play. Like, I'm not gonna miss this shit.
First of all, like, let me talk. Like, y'all know I'm Chris. A Bulls fan. We haven't had shit to cheer about since all this
Chris,
shit.
This nigga stood in
like,
line.
You know, I was like. nigga, what you mean? I get to relive some glory days for the Bulls. Fucking right, I was waiting for that shit to pop up. I set a reminder on my TV.
So look, if y'all don't know, we're talking about the highly anticipated documentary, The Last Dance, which details the Chicago Bulls' final three-peat season, the 97-98 season, pretty much. The end of the dynasty, as everybody knew it at that point, man, it was refreshing. Like, ESPN has been promoting this since last June, and I have been waiting since then. Now, originally it was supposed to drop in June, during the finals.
You're right. But
since everybody's home with the COVID-19 situation going on, they decided to move it up. 10 hardcore explicit episodes I've been doing two episodes a week. It's going to be 5 weeks. First week was last night. Three and four is this coming Sunday at 8 p.m. on ESPN and ESPN2. But if you want the explicit, if you want to watch the explicit version, watch it on ESPN. They're doing the edited version on ESPN2. Just the FYI. But, okay, man, Michael Jordan, a beast. Pure beast. But there's a lot of stuff we didn't know about Scottie Pippen, though. Like, I really didn't know about the contract situation.
Me neither.
That was news to me. And yeah. I didn't know, but
I didn't know to that extent. I didn't know he was fed up to that extent. And like, I didn't know about the hot boy summer. He didn't try to fucking summer. Then going to go into surgery. Bruh. But I do remember that contract.
I don't remember that. I've been into it
all day on Facebook with niggas from back home about Scottie Pippen. Niggas trying to make MJ look like he just a don't give a fuck ass nigga. And he said it the first three or four episodes. Y'all gonna say I'm a bad person. But nah, fuck that. Scottie was being selfish. I'm on Mike's side, bro. It was about this niggas glassing over the fact that this series is about the team, not Mike. This is about the team. And that the team, you was being selfish, my nigga. You knew it. Look, I got shit to say about Scottie. Go ahead on, bro. Whenever my turn come, I'm gonna let y'all.
Well, look, I don't mean to cut you. Before we really, really get in depth into this debate on the documentary, want to introduce one of our homeboys, a good friend of ours, Mr. the No BS attorney himself, Mr. No Brady BS. Skinner.
Brady,
welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thank y'all for having me. I appreciate it.
Man, no problem, man. Man, appreciate you coming on, bro. We got a lot to talk about. We're gonna get into your situation a little bit after this segment, but we do want you to chime in on this topic and on this debate to get your thoughts, because we definitely want to hear how you feel about last night's documentary.
It was, just leading up to it, everybody. One of the biggest things that I've seen on my social media feed was how a lot of the new generation, younger generation, I don't know if we're classified as millennials or Generation Z or whatever it is, but they're going to be more Jordan fans than LeBron fans after the documentary. I thought it was interesting to kind of see the whole. To see Jordan talk about the what happened during his rookie year when he popped in the room.
when he popped in,
I don't know why, but that stood out to me. He said, man, it's like the whole team was in there. Like,
they were drinking and doing
like, man, like, I guess, I guess nobody could get in trouble for it now. So. It's like, yeah, we did that coke 20 years ago. 30 years ago. It's all right. It's over and done. But, man, I thought it was great. I'm actually looking forward to the rest of the series. I'm not a huge basketball fan, but just to kind of see how it was done and to see Scottie Pippen, just, man, like 122nd in salary and probably the second best player in the league.
That's ridiculous.
That's tough, bro. That's tough. That's a tough pill to swallow, bro. But you know, when you sign the contract, bro, you can't complain.
But here's the thing though. Like, and I'm gonna say this. Like I said, I love Scottie Pippen, bro. Like, and everybody knows.
Let's get into it. Let's dive into it. I can't help it. Let's go.
But dog, like, if the damn owner told you not to sign the
contract, the owner.
And you still fucking signed the fucking contract. Yeah, I agree with Mike. I agree with Emil. You were being selfish. You knew what you were signing. Like, if you thought you were being underpaid and undervalued, Like, if Scottie didn't think he was getting his money and he would have took his ass somewhere else and played somewhere else, I would have been like, yeah, damn, man, that hurt. But at the end of the day, I would have understood that. But to sign the contract, then, you know, like, come back later, like, man, look, I ain't getting this surgery. I'm going to force him to renegotiate that shit. That's a fucked up ass tactic to take. And yeah. Yeah, and like, yeah, Mike was right. You were being selfish at that point. Like, do that shit. Like, there's other ways to go about renegotiating your contract. Plus, you already knew. Like, at that point, you already knew how Jerry Krause operated. Like, that's on, you played yourself. You played yourself. Like, what Callis said, never play yourself. You played yourself, Scott. You did. In that situation, you played, you definitely played yourself, bro. And like, you hurt, you really, like, fuck the team at that point.
I mean,
it's because you signed up. What I also,
in fairness, go ahead, the team fucked him first.
No.
They didn't. Because the contract was signed after the 91 season when they won their first title. Now, apparently, I read somewhere.
No, I don't think so. It had to be signed before because that was year seven. That was the last year. Going into that year was the last year of the contract.
I'm saying when he initially signed that contract, it was after the 91 season when they won the first title. Apparently he had, I don't want to misquote it, but if I'm not mistaken, he had a nagging back injury and he didn't know whether or not the Bulls were going to sign him long term for a lot of money, because, you know, the injury was kind of a big deal. So that's the reason why that 7-year, $18 million contract was presented to him. And initially he was told, of course, you know, by the owner, don't sign it. And everybody in the organization knew that Jerry Reinsdorf had a mantra. During contract negotiations, once you sign your contract, do not come back and talk to me to renegotiate. That is it. Once you sign, it's done, finito. And at that point, it took him six seasons to finally come to the realization, well, damn, I'm being really undervalued. Man, y'all gonna pay me, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, like, you can play 6 years out of seven. You might as well just go in and finish it out, man.
Right.
Right. And then try to re-up on the back end at that point. You got to year seven
I'm gonna go ahead and give him the benefit of the doubt. Like you said, he played 6 out of 7 years. But I feel like his time to speak up is exactly right after Mike retired the first time. He should have been like, you know what you said. But if Mike finna go, I'm finna do all the heavy lifting. I need some more cheese, homie. And that's what he should. And he could have held out then. You know what I'm saying? But him not pulling up and saying, look, I need some money when Mike retired, and him begging Mike to come back and help, showed them that he wasn't that nigga to get paid anyway.
What happens when a person outperforms their contract, though?
He didn't.
He didn't, that's the thing.
According to them, he didn't, because Mike was the reason we won the first three. And guess what? Mike was the reason we won the next two. Scottie Pippen called Mike and said, bruh, I need you. Scottie Pippen is the reason Michael Jordan came out of retirement the first time. Not because of the Bulls was doing bad. They was doing fine. They was playoff bound, but Scottie couldn't handle the fucking pressure. And now, when Mike come back, we go back to back, and we trying to go for the three-peat, and you hit me with the, oh, I'm gonna take my time coming back. Oh, we gonna trade you, homie. I honestly don't want to sound like I'm that nigga that's a black man, but you had your time to come forward and ask for more money. I understand what the owner said, but you should have stuck your head out there. I just think
I look at it from a perspective. What happens when a player gets cut by a team? Nobody says, oh man, why the team didn't honor their contract?
Dog, they could have cut him when he pulled that fucking, I'm gonna get my foot surgery in the middle of the season.
They could have, but when you are winning.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not entirely sure that he wouldn't have been entitled to his money in basketball. Like football, that happened all the time.
Baseball,
yeah, basketball, guaranteed money. If you
since
cut,
when though?
That's guaranteed money.
It's always been guaranteed contracts since then, it's always been in the NBA and MLB.
I'll go back and research, but yeah, they've always had guaranteed contracts. So when they sign, they're gonna get every nickel for what they signed for, regardless if they're cut or traded. So, but in NFL, yeah, that shit don't, like, that signature don't mean shit.
I can remember way back, like, Juwan Howard bouncing from team to team, and people still owing him money.
And he was still getting paid from two other teams while he was on the bench for the Heat. He was still getting paid by Washington, some other team. He got paid. He was still getting paid. But, like, he was, like, that's why he signed with Miami. He was, like,
what?
I just want to win. Like, I don't care if the money is good.
It was just a job for him, so he didn't give a shit. Yeah.
Well, for Scottie?
We're talking about Scottie. It wasn't a job for Scottie. He meant too much to the team. But for him, he might have meant much to the team, but obviously for him, it was a job. It was a business decision. What he said was, okay, they're not going to restructure my contract. I'm going to chill out. I'm going to enjoy my summer. And then when the season starts, I'm having surgery.
That's selfish.
Yeah.
That's selfish.
Right. And that's fine for Scottie if it's a business decision and that's the position he took. But what I took a problem with most of the people on social media was they were like, oh no, Mike's selfish. He getting 33 meals. Scottie getting like 2 point something. And Mike not saying anything. I was like, damn, speak up for Scottie. That's the only thing I had to say. Like, it is not Mike's job to do that. Like, it's not Mike. Like, you can't blame Mike for what Scottie signed and agreed to. Like, if Scottie wanted to renegotiate his deal at the end of the day, that's between the organization and Scottie, and Mike literally has nothing to do with it because Mike is not his agent. Nor do they share the profits.
Mike
from
got his like, money like when he came back.
When he came back, right? He wasn't paid like that.
That's part of the reason why he fucking retired at the beginning because they wasn't popping, they wasn't breaking bread.
When you look at it from a team, was Scottie selfish? Yes, he was. You know, yeah, he absolutely was. You know, but you take it for whether it's right or wrong or not. I don't, you know, that ain't for me to see whether he was right or wrong. He did what he did.
I'm not saying he's selfish from a team aspect, I agree. That was definitely a selfish move. Like, you know, like it was about me at this point. Like, I'm gonna do what I have to do to get me. And like at the end of the day, I can understand that. But like, I'm gonna feel away.
In that instance, maybe that comment came across to be selfish because you know it helped his legacy. When he's saying that Scottie was selfish.
How was that comment being selfish? He's speaking his truth. He felt like Scott. That's the way he felt in that moment. He felt like Scottie was being selfish because the team.
He was hurting the team. It wasn't the fact that I need him. I need Pippen to help me win. It was more so it's a team aspect. So for him to say that, I kind of got what he was saying. Come on, we all in this shit together, dog. We're trying to get this thing together.
It's easy to say that when you get $33 million a year.
I mean, Scottie knew that.
No, it ain't, dog. Nah, that's true.
So just
you took the money away from it. Jordan left and came back. When he came back, they presented that $33 million to him. So Scottie was still on that contract he was on. That's what I'm saying. It's Scottie's fault he didn't speak up when he was supposed to speak up when he was out there doing the heavy lifting by himself.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can, dog, because Jordan had his contract after Scotty was already playing on this 7-year, $18 million contract. Like when
just
he,
to, like, yeah, go ahead.
Jordan would never came back if it wasn't for Pippen begging him to come back. He was cool playing.
I mean, we don't know if he would have never came back. You know what I'm saying? But
we don't.
But
know.
What we do know,
he would have came back.
Yeah. He got he got 33. But that was when he got back.
No, it was only one season he made 33.
Okay.
So just to kind of give you an idea, I don't mean to cut y'all from 1988 to his fourth championship, his highest paid salary, Michael Jordan, was $4 million. That was the 92-93 season. That was the most he's ever made on a contract at that point in his career. After the 92-93 season, when he came back,
three championships.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when he came back, he had his contract was $3.8 million. That was for pretty much when he came back after retirement.
That's because he was wearing number 45,
the fourth ring. It was the yeah.
But he changed.
That's
number,
why
in
he
the
got
middle
20
yeah, middle playoff. After the fourth championship, then they kind of negotiated the deal. He had $30.1 million, and his final season with the Bulls, it was $33.1 million. So Michael Jordan, up until that point, was pretty much getting paid a little bit more than Pippen at the time. And you got the two best players, they make a damn near a total of $7 million on a contract? Come on, bro.
That's what I'm saying, though. He got those contracts while Pippen was already serving his contract.
Exactly.
Like, you know, like, as a pure player standpoint, we can look at this from, like, in hindsight now, but, like, there is no incentive for an athlete to ever sign, unless you're in baseball, to ever sign that long of a deal. You just don't have the longevity in football and basketball that you do, but you have it in baseball, because players be going forever in baseball. But in football, there's just no reason for you to sign a 7-year deal, and the owner told him that. Like, at that point, that's why I lost all sympathy for Scotty in his contract negotiation. When the owner tells you, like, hey, he said you selling yourself short, you locking yourself in for a very long time. Like, why would you do that? And I understood Scotty's concerns. Like, yeah, my back. I want to be able to provide for my family and guarantee. But like at the same time, like. Right. Man, you should have bet on yourself, because Mike sure did. Like with that foot injury, he bet. Like, man, look, I'm gonna bet on myself.
It's kind of like what Master P always talked about. They went and met what I think was Priority or one of the record labels, and the dude offered them $1 million, and C wanted to take it, and P was like, "No, we're not gonna take it." And C like, "Man, it's $1 million. We from the projects, like, you know, it's $1 million." And P was like, "Man, if he ready to cut a check for $1 million, how much we really worth? How much he gonna make off us?" And see, the thing is, you know, we talk about Scottie Pippen and Scottie Pippen being a Hall of Famer, and you know everything he's done, and what an asset he was to the Bulls team. But if we're being honest, Scottie Pippen was always a number two. But he's still a two.
Second best player in the league.
He's still a two.
He was a two. Yes, he's a two. But he was the. There was
that's
nobody
so cool.
else better than him in the
that's
league.
Cool. When you have
two.
Great duels as and they dominate, you still got the name, don't you? No, if you're gonna get the man jersey, are you getting Batman jersey or Robin jersey? You know what I'm saying?
I'm getting both.
Like what you doing? Like, you can't, like,
yeah, not, I get, like, I get, I get, I get, I get what you're trying to say, Brady.
To make that type of money.
But,
like, because you're the second best player on the team. You might be the second best player in the league, but it's kind of like we talk about And like we talk about today, we talk about Durant and the decision that he made. We know why Durant left Golden State. You know? We know. Because yeah. he won't be the right. man. He wants. He's like, look, I got these championships, right. I got my rings, fine. I'm trying to be the man.
He couldn't.
You know, Scottie never did that.
Right. He wasn't getting no. He thought he was gonna go to Golden State and take over. Like, that Steph team, bro. You're not getting that love. So like that ultimately fueled his departure. Like, I felt like you know, because technically they could have like he could have stayed
Shaq Golden and Kobe.
State. They still could have been running shit. Like, he could have stayed, but ultimately he chose to leave. Like, you know, Kobe, right.
We still thank Draymond Green for that.
That was
too.
A little different.
Yeah.
That's another conversation.
What? Yeah, but don't start. Yeah.
No, I mean, nope.
Yeah, Kobe was a Robin.
But no,
Kobe was Robin.
He was still the man. But he became Batman. He transitioned. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I mean, Kobe has a different mindset.
But
it's got to fit in.
But that's what I'm saying. Kobe ain't signing
Kobe and Jordan could have never played on the same team.
Pippen wasn't trying to emulate Jordan.
Well, see,
that wasn't his favorite player.
Well, here's the thing. To bounce off of Mills' point and kind of tie in Brady's point, at the point where Scottie Pippen asked Mike to come back, he relegated himself.
Yes,
that number two.
Booyah.
He locked
Booyah.
Himself in. So he
take
led,
your lips,
so like
son.
y'all saying the same thing but kind of different ways, like. At that point, he's like, okay, I'm a two.
And that's okay.
So, like, it's not the other way around. Like, so.
Because
guess what? Now, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's okay. Because obviously the move was the better move. It was a good move because, like, it cemented his legacy in the NBA. Like, there's people who got three rings. And he got six because Jordan came back.
Right.
He'll go down as the top 50 NBA.
And my last point is, even after Jordan was long gone and Scottie was the man in Portland, guess who he couldn't beat? Kobe. A Jordan type nigga.
Be Kobe.
I mean, at that point, Pippen was like, what, 35, 36?
I don't give a fuck. I don't care. He couldn't hold
you
it.
You
want
to throw the money out. Himself. You want to throw the age out.
In Portland. Even. Hold on, dog. Hold on. Jordan won his last three championships. He won the last championship at the age of what, 34, 35?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Come on, dog. I don't want to hear that.
Are you talking about Jordan, dog?
Still. But he was still old.
We talking about a generation of 10.
He averaged 25 points, man. Come on.
Yeah. You know, like right. And that's to the point. Pippen.
Well, how
Pippen
come Kobe repeated it?
Kobe got
Kobe
five.
Kobe did it too. I know, but Kobe averaged the same amount of points.
When are we going to allow great people to be great people and stop comparing them to pedestrians? And stop comparing them to people as like there's a Hall of Famer and then there's great players. You know, you can't compare.
Right.
Even in the Hall of Fame, you have your echelon. Like, if you're in the Hall of Fame, you know, nobody gonna say, oh, this is the worst player in the Hall of Fame. No, you're in the fucking Hall of Fame. But there's the conversation that they have.
Right.
They're competitive. You think they don't have? Like, I don't even know how he got in the Hall of Fame. Like, but hey, he here.
I feel that. But what I'm saying, like what Josh said, when you ask Mike to come back and help you, you solidified your number two, homie, and like you should have got your money while he was at home on the couch or on the golf course.
We saying the same thing. Just
got your money, dog. Right.
Now saying y'all
you
both.
Say, you say tomato, I say tomato.
Y'all just saying it.
At the end of the day, you make spaghetti sauce with it.
Oh,
Okay, Chris.
Man, we want to thank Brady for coming on the show this evening. Just for a brief moment, we want to get into let our listeners know what it is that you do, how you do it, how you make it work, how you've been working during this quarantine season.
I'm a criminal defense personal injury trial lawyer. I'm on Twitter, Instagram at the No BS Attorney. I'm a solo practitioner. I've been doing it for about 7 years, and you know what, life is good. We had in the criminal defense community, a big decision came out today from the U.S. Supreme Court, which is Ramos v. Louisiana, which now says that non-unanimous juries are unconstitutional. So what that means is that in Louisiana, up until January 1st, 2019, you were able to get convicted of a life sentence, get convicted of a crime that carries a life sentence with 10 of 12 people voting guilty. The Supreme Court, and we changed the law on our own. As a state, we voted on that law, which barely passed. But it was starting in January 1st of 2019. All cases billed by the district attorney's office on that date and after would get unanimous juries. Now, the decision that came down from the Supreme Court says that, well, you have to look at all the cases that's up to direct appeal, and all the cases that's pending now has to be decided by unanimous juries. So this is it's not only a big win for criminal defense attorneys, but a big win for justice and a big win for everybody in America.
So quick.
Yeah.
That's real major. I have a quick question. What made you decide to become an attorney? And I know a lot of attorneys get that same question asked, but I know that it's a specific reason as to why you wanted to do what it is you do right now. Just let the people know.
I actually interviewed with Orleans Parish DA's office when I first came out. I didn't want to go in the interview. And they asked me that same question, and I told them because my rap career didn't work out. Needless to say, I did not get that job. But I kind of told them what I thought about the office in the interview. And, you know, I got a letter back saying that, you know, I wouldn't be, they're not going to hire me, which is cool. I think I kept the letter. I got it stashed away somewhere. I keep all the rejection letters because I like to carry that chip on my shoulder, you know. But I became an attorney. I didn't really know what I was going to do. I can't say I had a real passion for being a lawyer when I was in undergrad. I enjoyed undergrad a lot. I had a lot of fun. At the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, go Raging Cajuns. But you know it. But it was or tomatoes, right? But it was just tomatoes. A decision. You know, it seemed like a good thing to do. Me and my friends in undergrad, we all talked about law school. And I think I was the only one to apply and kind of and get in and go. And just throughout law school, I developed a passion for criminal defense work. And you know, I kind of hit the ground running as soon as I got out. I do attribute a lot of the reason why I do criminal defense work to who most people know as C. Murder, but Corey Miller, who you know, I along with a lot of his supporters, family, and friends, still feels that he's wrongfully incarcerated. And just to see somebody just sit behind, you know, sitting in Angola, or just to know that they're there, and you know, it's tough. So that's one of the reasons why I do criminal defense work. And just the kind of the community that I grew up in. You know, I don't think that anybody is as bad as the worst thing that they've ever done. Nor are you as good as the best thing you've ever done. You know, so just representing people. Yeah.
That's an interesting take. I like that.
That's what's up, man. We definitely want to definitely appreciate you coming on the show, man. Yeah. I know we've been talking about this all last week. Hey, I'm sorry. I got to let you know right now, Josh. Like, you was about this close from being cut out the episode. You know, this stuff would be a cut out episode. Oh,
that's cool.
Yeah. Hey man, we were trying to get it in, dog.
Yeah, I feel you. I know. I couldn't count on work.
But that's how teams work, man. Though. It's brutal honesty. That's kind of, you know, another thing that I love about what I do, because you know, at all times we searching for the truth, not the truth. Not just one person's truth, but the truth, what happened, like the whole story, not just that instance. Kind of like I just said, you know, you're not the worst of what you've done or the best of what you've done. You know, there's a story. Everybody, like, we're here. Something led up to the point where we're all here on this podcast. You can't just say, hey, you know, look at it in a vacuum and be like, oh, here are these four guys and they're talking about sports and law on a podcast. Nah. There's a story behind that. What led us here? You know? So when somebody gets accused of a crime or somebody gets gravely injured in a car wreck or, you know, any kind of accident, you know, other than what happened in that moment, which a lot of times civil defense attorneys want to harp on and prosecutors want to harp on is what happened in that moment. I'm concerned about what, you know, how did we get here? You know, what led a person to make a decision? What kind of life did a person lead before they got injured? You know, what kind of life do they lead after they were injured? You know, how does it affect the person, not just the moment?
That's real, man. Man, we definitely appreciate it, man. And shout out to you, man, just for the one time, bro. I know your job is very difficult and maybe even more so tedious at times, but man,
thank you.
As your homeboy, man, hey man, I'm proud of you, bro. Like, to see where you started to where you are now, man, I'm definitely proud of the strides you made, man, and helping people not face jail time, maybe getting them probation, whatever the case may be, man, just helping people in any way possible, man. And I greatly appreciate what you're doing.
I love doing it.
For us, bro. Greatly appreciate it. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Next segment. We bring it back. It's been a minute. We got Quick Six Kicks in the building. His little segment. It's been a while. I know you probably
I got a ringing endorsement for him too. I was not a sneakerhead.
No.
I was not a sneakerhead. And then for about 18 months, I became a sneakerhead. And I think I bought, like 10 pairs of Jordans? Yeah. And I'm crazy. I come up in the shop. I got these. What you think about these? And then after a while, I got a closet full of Jordans. And I went, and I'm like, I don't wear none of this shit. You know, I might have won. So I gave a couple pair to a kid. Hey. I was going to sell them, but I was like, man, let me just, you know, bless somebody with these.
Hey, you got to stay ready. Know, so you got to get ready.
Real.
But,
so, all right, check it out. A lot of releases have been getting pushed back because of COVID-19. Stores have been closed. There's been a lot of online shopping going on lately, you know, especially by me. I've been going nuts. But last night, for the premiere of The Last Dance, there was a shot drop
the Air Jordan 5 Fire Red dropped last night, and guess what? I missed it. I'm mad as hell. It's all right, though. It's all right. They got a regular release date. They're coming out May 2nd or May 5th. Whichever day they bring it out, I'm going to be ready then. But coming out this week, there's a couple Pumas dropping. They have the Nike SB 420 Reverse Skunk. I don't know if you ever saw the SB Dunk Skunk version. This is a purple and green shoe, you know, came out today. You know, it's a real, you know, weed smoker shoe, you know what I'm saying? Even if you don't smoke weed, you can get them, but, you know,
light it
it's
up.
A high top SB Dunk for the skateboarders. Get your skate on while you're getting high, or get high before you skate. However you do it the way you do it. We got a couple Jordan Why Not. That's a Russell Westbrook's line, the Why Not. He has a black cement colorway coming out, the Why Not 3. The Jordan 34 Regency Purple, that's dropping. That dropped today also. The Why Not come out on the 23rd. A couple Adidas dropping. Adidas Women's Ultra Boost 2020 in copper metallic glory blue, and glory blue and solar red are dropping. The Nike Kyrie 6 USA is dropping on the 24th. I think that's Friday. And the KD 13, the Chill. That's the name of it. The KD 13 Chill. That's coming out on the 24th. Also, there's a Mark Gonzalez collab with Adidas Superstar, the Shamu. The Shmoo. I'm sorry. Shmoo. 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 I said that wrong. I apologize. But that's a superstar collaboration. And Saturday, they got the Nike Black on Black Fear of God made by Jared Lorenzo. Fear of God is a highly coveted sneaker. I think the retail price is $350. I heard they're really comfortable. I heard they're really fly. It looks like a Adidas Yeezy 750, but I'm pretty sure he had something to do with the Adidas Yeezy 750. But that's all coming out this week. That's look like the hottest shoes. But yeah, last night was the shoe of the week, the shock drop of the Air Jordan 5 Fire Red, the white with the silver tongue, you know, the 3M tongue, reflective tongue. So if you were paying attention last night and you got those, congratulations to you. But I will be waiting, because I still have mine from 2013 with the Jordan, or the Jordan Jumpman on the back. These have the Nike Air on the back, and I'll be waiting to replace my Jordans with the Nike Air. So whenever they release them, I will get them. Also, one more shoe. The Jordan 6 Defining Moment package, the black and gold pair, dropped last Saturday, just passed. Nike website crashed. I did not get them off Nike. I was so heartbroken. But it was crazy, though. Everybody else's websites is working fine. I went to footlocker.com at like 9:45, because it released at 9 o'clock, and put my information in slowly but surely, and boom, I got them. I don't have a shipment date, but I do have a confirmation. So I'll be getting them whenever those come, and I'll be doing an unboxing video on those on my YouTube channel. So y'all stay tuned for that. And that is it for Quick Six Kicks.
Appreciate that, Emil, man. Now we're going to go into the final topic we got on the evening. The 2020 NFL Draft is coming on Thursday. It's not going to be a traditional NFL draft, ladies and gentlemen. It is going to be virtual. There was an actual story that they did a test run on yesterday evening, and they were having technical difficulties. So we'll see how that's going to change come Thursday. But this is like one of the best nights that football fans are waiting for. They're looking to get that next talent, that next superstar on their roster. And they got quite a few heavy hitters, I would say, within the top 15. But it's going to be interesting how it's actually all going to play out. Looking at the latest mock draft, you still pretty much have the top two. You got Joe Burrow going to Cincinnati, Chase Young going to the Redskins. You got Jeff Aduka, cornerback from Ohio State, is going to Detroit. Isaiah Simmons, the monster linebacker from Clemson, going to the Giants. This is where it will get interesting, and I want to get y'all thoughts on it. And Josh, I'll let you go first. You have Miami at number 5 and the Los Angeles Chargers at number 6. Now, I've seen half my drafts that has Tua going to Miami. Other half, he's going to the Chargers. And it's going to be either between him and Justin Herbert going either Miami or Chargers. I want to get you guys' take of how do you think it's actually going to play out?
Okay, well, I just want to say that, first of all, I don't believe that Okudua, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, will be going to Detroit. I think Detroit trades back. That's going to fuck up the draft. But going back to Tua, I think it's possible that Tua slides back towards 8 or 9, to be honest. And if that happens, I see a team jumping up there to get him. Like, I think the Patriots are going to make a move for him. I'm just going to be honest. Like, so I think Tua will likely, if Bill Belichick has his way, Tua will be a Patriot. I really don't think that San Diego will end up, or Miami will end up with
him. Interesting. Brady, yeah, what you got, man?
I kind of agree with Josh. I see somebody trading up for Tua. You know, I don't think you do what he's done in college, you know, come off the bench, win a national title, come back again. I mean, I know the injury is significant, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots made a play for him. I mean, the Jets do have Sam Darnold, but they also got pick 11. You know, they make a play for him. They've been talking about the Broncos, talking about trading up. So, you know, I see somebody kind of bargaining out of that position to kind of jump up and get to it. Because even with the injury concern, I mean, he's still the second best QB in his draft.
Emil?
I agree with that statement.
So, I mean, I'm excited.
Wait, did we lose Emil? I think Emil might be having technical difficulties at the moment. But it's interesting. It's interesting to go see. I think another quarterback name that's being thrown in the mix too, that I think somebody's going to throw a wrench in the draft, will be someone high up getting Jordan Love from Utah State. A lot of people are kind of high on this guy. I haven't really seen too much on him, but they compared his numbers to what's his face, Mahomes, and they're saying his numbers were better than Mahomes, QB rating wise, than Mahomes coming out. And it's kind of like the same mode. I'm like, man, look, Mahomes is Mahomes.
Yeah.
He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback and only his second year starting. Let's get that out there. I don't think Jordan Love is going to be a quarterback that's going to come in, take a year off behind another starting quarterback. He eventually gets a starting job, and in 2 years, his second year wins, well, third season, second year starting, win a Super Bowl and get MVP. I don't think that's going to happen with him.
Yeah.
That's not fair, man. That's not a fair. Right. That's not a fair comparison for that kid, bro. Like, I hate when they do that, bro. Like, you know, don't draft that kid expecting that. Like, that's way too much. Like, Mahomes is a freak, bro. Like, that I don't think he'll ever see a QB come in and do that, like, again, like, win an MVP his first year starting and then win the Super Bowl the following year. I just can't see it. I don't see it happening, especially at that position. Just too much to learn, too much information. You're
talking about generational talent.
Like, you know, that's just not fair. You have
something like that's, you know, people always say, well, like, that's the standard, that's the standard. Well, shit, if that's the standard, then everybody else is substandard. You know? That's, you know, yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. No, that's
like, nobody's meeting the standard that. That's or the too, exception. That's too high. Like, nobody's
gotta,
doing
at
that.
Some point,
like,
we got to choose.
Like, I was like,
you know?
Yeah. Now, earlier on Twitter, I did catch wind of an interesting tweet from Dove Kleiman. He had a report that said the 49ers want to clear cap space. And they're shopping D Ford, linebacker Quan Alexander, safety Jaquiski Tartt, and Marquise Goodwin. Now, we know that D Ford and Quan Alexander joined the team last season. And it's also interesting to see that, according to the mock draft, we all know that this is not going to be 100% as is, but according to the mock draft, San Francisco is looking to get CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver from Oklahoma. Which is a pretty nice pickup at the wide receiver position, but I think they want to trade down, get some solid second and late round picks. I don't see them actually making that number 13 pick for themselves, let alone shopping all of these four players, which they were actually pretty good for what they did last season for the 49ers, to say the least, even though Quan was hurt majority of the season. But I just want to get y'all thoughts on 49ers' mind frame of how they should come into the draft.
Well, I mean, like, I think trading back is a good move. They don't have a ton of picks, and you know, acquiring more talent by giving up that premium pick would be an ideal way of doing it. I mean, John Lynch, I can't too much question his moves. Like, for the last, since he's come in, like, his moves have worked. Like, I can't question it. Like, until he makes a major misstep, you got to give it to him. You got to give it to him. He's a solid GM. He knows what he's doing. So, like, if he wants to move back, if he feel like, and I feel like, especially if you're looking at wide receiver in this draft with all the talent that's coming out, you can move back and still get a good wide receiver, yeah, and then pick up additional.
You know,
Brady?
It's hard to what do they need? They do need a wide receiver. I mean, they lost Emmanuel Sanders to the great New Orleans Saints. I'm still, you know, I understand that with Jimmy G took him to the Super Bowl, but I'm just not sold on the guy. You know, I think he's a good quarterback. I think he was behind Brady for a while, but you know, I think at some point they draft a quarterback in this draft. I know that's a bold prediction, but
email.
Well, I mean, that's a bold one. But like, they can't get out of that contract. You know,
did he have a good game? It wouldn't shock me too much. The season against the Saints. But we also know. When that was his best game, certain teams, you kind of scheme for them a couple weeks in advance too. So you know, it's the consistency.
That's true.
Kind of with that, so you know, we'll see. We'll see what's going on, but I think, like you say, John, he's put together this team. They went from worst to first very quickly. But they're in a tough division. I mean, you got Russell Wilson, who I admittedly I was a non-believer in at first, but You just can't deny him. You know, he's probably what he's easily top three in the league today. Maybe top two. You know? So
yeah. Okay. I'll tell you one thing. Saints better do their damn job.
No, I didn't want to I know I'm biased when it comes to the Saints, so I don't even want
Hey man, we 100% biased over here.
I saw a mock draft that got us getting Patrick Queen, which would be beautiful for the state, right?
Yeah, and I see another one. We're looking to get AJ Terrell from Clemson.
I would flip my. I knock all this shit over. I want to be fair. Like, you can't judge a player by one game, but after the way Chase did that boy, I knock all this shit over. Like, and I know Chase is like the best wide receiver in the country, but like, no, I don't want that kid anywhere near my team. I'm sure, and like I said, I don't have no ill will towards any player right now until they get drafted to like a rival. Like if you get drafted by a Falcons, then I just hate you. It's not personal, but I just hate you.
What if the Saints get?
It's not personal with this kid. I just don't want him around my team
in the first round.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't surprise me, but like to me, like we set ourselves up to where with the free agency, like we can, I feel like we can make a pick, just take the best player on the board. That's what I feel like. They're in position to take the best player on the board. Like so, but the way I expect the board to fall, I just expect the best player to be a linebacker, which also happens to be a position that we can upgrade at that point in time. But if the Saints took Justin Jefferson and he was sitting there at 24, trust me, I would not complain. Like, I would be like, old bitch.
I also wouldn't be surprised if the Saints traded up. But like, we have a history. Our team has a history of trading up in the first round on draft day. Yeah,
I have heard that too. I saw and heard some things that if Tua gets past number 9, the Saints are going to try and trade.
That we might jump.
They might trade up. Try to trade up and get Tua.
And like I said, I'm not mad if they did that and they got Tua. I'm not mad at that either. You know, here's my thing though. Like, we need to make additional moves if that's the Tua trade. So like if we're trading up into the first round to get higher to get Tua, we need to move around again in the second round to address linebacker at that point. Cause like Tua doesn't help us next year. It's a future pick, you know, and I'm good if Tua is the QB in waiting behind Drew Brees. Trust me, he's accurate, he's mobile. Like, I would love that pick. But at the same time, I really, like, I want to go all in this year. So, like, I'm like, fuck these picks. Do whatever y'all got to do to get a championship in New Orleans next year. Like, I don't care if you trade next year's second round, third pick. I don't care. Get back up. Get that defensive player that's gonna solidify the linebacker. Or they could pick a corner. Either one would help. And, like, let's go ahead and get this championship.
Did y'all see the tirade that Brandon Marshall went on about this?
Right, let's just go ahead and do it.
I didn't. I read it, yeah. But I didn't dive into it. I mean,
Martin's.
Nobody to me.
That's what I'm saying. Like, who is you? Right. I'm like, bro, like, you couldn't even beat out our receiver core was terrible behind Michael Thomas. You couldn't beat out those jokers. Like, I'm not trying to hear anything you say talking about we done and our windows go. No, nigga, your window closed, okay? Because we tried you out. You couldn't get on the team. So, like, no, your window closed. Don't be projecting. Don't self-project because you got rejected, okay? That's clown shit.
Are you upset?
Goofy.
Yeah, that's just trash. he's still upset, dog. He's still upset, bro. Look, this
No, you're goofy, bro. Like, I don't like that shit. No, don't you try to get a name up off of us. Thing
is, what's going to happen? Bitch. Because the mayor of New Orleans already, well, she already canceled all festivals for 2020. Right? So what's that mean for football season?
They don't know yet, man.
Not a damn thing. Man. Not a damn. I'm being honest with you. Like, even if, like, I think we're looking at the possibility where football games will be played in an empty stadium. But honestly, the mayor of New Orleans is like, I just know if the NFL leaned on her ass, there would be games played in the empty stadium. Now, will fans be there? Probably not. Like, but football, if the NFL decides to go forward with their proposed rules of like quarantine hotel rooms, empty stadiums, there'll be games played.
Take a picture.
Now, will fans be in those stands? Likely not. But I can't call it, man. Like, cause like those major sports leagues are machines.
Yeah,
bro.
It's too early.
People
too early to tell,
that travel that travel with those teams and travel with the NFL to get those games ready. So like, how you gonna control the interactions of that many people? So like, I don't know what the NFL is planning to do.
Right.
As far as like 2020, honestly, I'm just preparing for everything to be shut down. Like, I really don't
too early
think
to tell,
there will be
bro.
Football this year.
It's too early to tell,
bro. Right? I don't think like honestly, I'm really sad after this draft because I feel like.
But no, they got the schedule released. You know, they say the NFL like, still plans on releasing the schedule.
You can't go to those games. Like, you're right. Because I honestly, I was trying to catch that Saints Raiders game in Vegas. I was trying to go. I was trying to go to that dude, bro. You know, and I just became a season ticket owner last year, and I'm sad. Like, you know, like the fuck. Like, why did shit happen after I finally get off that list and get some season tickets? Like, you know, that's bullshit, but you know.
And we'll see, man. We'll see what happens in the coming months, man. But that's a wrap for this week's episode, tonight's episode, man. We definitely want to thank our guy, our friend, our homie,
thank
the OBS attorney himself, Brady Skinner. Go ahead. No problem, man. Look, whenever you want to come on, man, just let us know, man. You invited whenever, man. Just give us a holler. Let us know. We'll get you on, bro. But before you get out of here, let the people know where they can find you. I'll give them all of your contact info.
You can find
Facebook,
me on Twitter and Instagram.
Instagram.
The No BS Attorney. TheNoBSAttorney. www.thenobsattorney.com. We also have somebody dedicated to the phone lines 24/7. So you can give us a call at 225-615-0319 and somebody will pick up the phone. And yeah, we represent people. We represent real people. You know, real attorneys for real people. Anytime, any place, any case.
Appreciate it, man. The No BS Attorney. One time for one time. We had some technical difficulties with Emil. He had to step away. But you can follow him on Twitter. All of his handles are the same. It's Quick6. That's Q-U-I-K. The number 6, I-X. You can follow myself, CPrice_504 on Twitter. CPrice504_ on Instagram. Josh, let the people know where they can find you, man.
It's same tag everywhere. Fresh_logic. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Find me there, bro.
And before we get out, we ain't get a chance to say the tag, bro. So before we get out, let the people know, man.
Hey, man. Like always, if you're fucking with us, it's most definitely appreciated.
Definitely appreciated. We'll catch y'all on the next time, man. Y'all be easy. Be safe. Wash your hands. Stay sanitized.